I want to start this morning with a bit of a confession. It's something that happened many years ago, but it probably reflects something about me that I'm not proud of. There was a time where I was a young youth minister. It was a busy Sunday morning. There was a lot going on. It might have been like a friends and family day or something. I remember we had a lot of people at the congregation I was working with, and I think we were having a fellowship meal. We were all in the fellowship hall, and there were a lot of people, not enough chairs to go around, and I was busy, and I was trying to do several things. And one of the older men said to me, "Wes, get these people a chair." And I didn't like how he said it to me. You know, I mean, he didn't say, "Could you get them a chair?" or "Would you get them a chair?" He said, "Get them a chair." And it just kind of made me irritated. I probably did it. I probably went and got him a chair, but I was kind of, you know, gritting my teeth, and I was kind of upset about it. And over the years, I thought about that a lot. I thought about, yeah, he should have said, "Would you?" or "Could you?" I would like for you to. He should have shown me more respect. He should have requested it. He shouldn't have commanded me to do it. And maybe there's some truth in that. But part of it is about me and how I reacted to that. And the fact that I don't like being instructed or commanded or even directed because I'm proud. And I resist instruction, being commanded, being directed. So how about you? Do you tend to resist or submit to authority, to being told or instructed or even suggested, should you do this, would you do this, could you do this? Do you have a tendency to be like me and to resist? Or do you naturally have a tendency to submit to those kinds of things? I think there are some people that have an easier time being submissive, and other people who have a tendency to resist those kinds of things. But even if it comes pretty naturally to you and you have this tendency to be pretty submissive, I think we live in a culture that encourages us to resist instruction, don't you? We live in a culture where one of our highest virtues, one of the highest things, one of the highest values, one of the highest things that we hold dear and we seek is autonomy. You know what autonomy means? It means self-governing. We want to be self-governing. You can't tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. Who died and made you king? You can't tell me what I should or shouldn't do. And we tell people all the time, think for yourself. Think for yourself. Do what you think is right. Follow your own heart. Follow your own reasoning. Follow your own conclusions. Don't let other people tell you what to do. And so there may be some of us that are naturally more submissive or maybe naturally more rebellious. But regardless, we live in a culture that encourages us to be resistant and rebellious. And because that's true of all of us or most of us, what we have to think about this morning might be kind of challenging. I'll tell you, it's challenging for me. These kinds of sermons are always challenging for me, and I think that they're going to be challenging for a lot of us. Before we get to exactly what I want to talk about this morning, I want to remind us what we talked about last week. We talked about elders, and so we were in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. Remember, we talked about the fact that shepherds, the sort of shepherds that we have and the sort of shepherds that we need to be motivated not by their agenda or not by our applause, but by the appreciation of the chief shepherd. We need shepherds, and we have shepherds, and we need additional shepherds who will be motivated not by their agenda, not by the applause of people, but by the appreciation of the chief shepherd, who do what they do to please Jesus, who serve in the way that Jesus served. And so we read from 1 Peter 5, verse 1, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God. Shepherd God's flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly," verse 3, "not domineering over those in your charge, but being what, church? Examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Not domineering, not lording it over them, not bossing people around, not saying, you do this and you do that, not ruling with an iron fist, but leading by example. Those are the sort of shepherds that we have, and those are the sort of shepherds that we need. But make no mistake, this is a position of authority. Delegated authority from the chief shepherd to exercise oversight, to watch over, to lead, to direct, to shepherd God's people. Again, not domineering, not saying do this or else, not threatening God's people, not being that kind of a shepherd, but being a tender and compassionate shepherd who sets an example for the flock. But then Peter kind of switches gears just a little bit. Verse 5, he says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So I want to think about this phrase that he uses here. Be subject to the elders. One definition of that is a voluntary yielding in love. Listen to that definition. A voluntary yielding in love. Not because you have to, but because you choose to. Because of what Jesus did for you, this is the life, as we've been saying, this is the life you've been saved to live. A life of surrender, a life of service, a life of submission, being subject to, choosing to, out of loyalty to Jesus, surrendering, yielding in love to the shepherds. So Peter says, hey, shepherds, this is how you shepherd. These are the kinds of shepherds that we need. These are the kinds of shepherds that you need to be. And then everybody else, this is how you interact with your shepherds. Be subject to them. Voluntarily yield to them in love. Another translation says, the NIV says, submit yourselves to. The New Living Translation says, accept the authority of the elders. But as we think through that, I mean, it's really easy for us to just say that and say, okay, cool, submit to the elders, or be subject to the elders, or yield to them in love. And it's something we could just say, and then we could just sort of pass over it. But I want to, practically speaking, I want to talk about this practically speaking. What does that look like practically to be subject to submit to accept the authority of, to voluntarily yield to them in love? So what does it mean to be subject to the elders? Let's walk through a few things. These are other things that we find in the New Testament, but 1 Peter 5 verse 3 tells shepherds to be examples to the flock. So if they're supposed to be examples, then the rest of us are supposed to follow their example. Do you do that? Do you follow the example of the shepherds? Do you watch them and say, you know, how do the elders do this? And what do they think are best practices for living a spirit-filled life, for living a sanctified life, for living a holy life? How do they live their lives? How do they treat their wife? How do they treat their kids? How do they do these things? Do you try to, as they follow Jesus, you follow them? Do you look to them as an example? Because we have and we will follow examples of people, right? I mean, you do naturally. We all do. I was at a conference not too long ago, and they had these badges that had the logo of the conference on it with a little lanyard, you know, and they gave it to, and they said, write your name on there. And I was like, where? There wasn't like a box to put the name in. I didn't know where to put my name on it. I didn't want to do it wrong. There probably was no wrong way to do it, but I didn't know. I didn't want to look like a weirdo, you know, because I put my name in the wrong place. So I started, looking at everybody else. Where did you put your name? Where did you put your name? Like, I want to know, where did you put your name? Because I don't want to put my name in the wrong spot. We do that, don't we? At least I do that. I look around. I say, well, how are other people doing this? You're looking to someone. You might be looking to your coworkers or your classmates or your neighbors or people on television, politicians, celebrities, athletes, looking at other people and saying, how are they living their life? And maybe implicitly you're following their example. God gave you, Jesus gave you, the Holy Spirit gave you men. Again, as we said many times last week, these are not perfect men. But even in their failures, even in their sin and their repentance, are examples for us to follow. So part of the way that we submit to them or are subject to them is follow their example. They're not going to be bossing you around, say, hey, do this, do that, but they're living their lives so that you can see it and follow their example when they are following Jesus. Number two, learn from their teaching or instruction. One of the things that shepherds do, one of the things that elders do is teach, instruct. Titus chapter 1 verse 9 says, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So if that's one of the tasks, the jobs of an elder is to teach and instruct, and we could talk about that all day long. And every time we appoint new shepherds, we're talking about these are the qualifications and these are what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be teachers. Okay, yes, true. But what about me? I'm supposed to be a learner, a student, listening to and following the instructions of the shepherds. It's the Holy Spirit who put these men in this role. And so as they teach us, as they instruct us, we've got to ask ourselves, am I subject to their teaching? Do I put myself at their feet and say, teach me? Not to say that, again, not to say that they're perfect or that their teaching is perfect, but are we submissive, humble, subject, yielded learners to our shepherds to learn from their teaching and instruction? Number three, encourage them as you would a father. Paul is instructing the evangelist Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, don't rebuke, and one way to translate it is an older man, but encourage him as you would a father and younger men as brothers. So if this is how a preacher is supposed to talk to older men in the congregation, then it's probably how everyone should talk to older men in the congregation. And if that's true of all older men, sorry, that's what the word elder means, but if that's how you're supposed to talk to all older men, then that's certainly true of how we're supposed to talk to and interact with our elders and shepherds, isn't it? Encourage them as you would your father. Is that how you talk to the shepherds? Is that how you talk about the shepherds? What about when you have a disagreement? And you're going to. You're going to have disagreements from time to time. And you're going to think, why did the elders do that? Or why did the elders do this? Or I don't understand what they're doing about that. Or I haven't heard anything about this other thing. But if we act like consumers who are just here like frequenting a business rather than family members who are subject to these men who are in this role and treat them like fathers. Do we treat them like we would our dad? You can have a disagreement with your dad, and you can say, hey, I don't understand why you did this. I don't understand what's happening here. But do you encourage these men? Do you treat them like your family? Number four, ask them to pray for you. James says in chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Part of submitting to or being subject to or yielding in love to the shepherds is saying, here's how you can care for me. Elders are not mind readers. We can't just expect, well, I didn't show up for 3 weeks and I expected them to know what was wrong. That's not what James says. James says, he doesn't say, is anyone among you sick? Stay home, see if they notice. That's not what he said. He said, call the elders. Call them. Say, I need you to care for me. Here's how I need you to care for me. Here's what's going on in my life. And if that's true for our physical ailments, isn't it true of our spiritual ailments? I'm struggling. And they may be able to mentor you and teach you and direct you and help you. But the best thing that they can do is pray for you and pray over you and go to God on your behalf and go to God with you. And these shepherds will do that. They pray for you constantly. But the best way for them to pray for you is for you to submit to them enough that you're willing to trust them with what's going on in your life and say, here's what's going on. Here's how I'm struggling and I don't know what to do. And they may say to you, I don't know what you should do either, but I love you and I'll hold your hand and I'll pray with you and I'll pray for you. You have men in your life who will do that for you. You are not alone. You're not alone. You never will be. As long as you're part of the people of God, the flock of God, you have brothers and sisters and shepherds who love you. So ask them to pray for you and tell them how they can pray for you. Number five, here's the one that might be the most challenging. Number five, obey them. If you're like me, you're like, whoa, hold on now, Wes. Obey them. That's pretty. Nobody's the boss of me. I'm not doing what anybody said. Hold on. It's exactly what the Hebrew writer says, chapter 13, verse 17. He says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. The NIV says, have confidence in your leaders. I like that one better. Have confidence in your leaders. That's what it means to obey, isn't it? Because again, spiritual leaders, shepherds, are not domineering. They're not kicking you around. Sometimes their instruction, sometimes their direction, sometimes their leading doesn't even come in the form of a command. It comes in the form of an invitation to say, hey, wouldn't it be good if? Wouldn't it be good if you did this? Wouldn't this be helpful if you did that? Hey, let me invite you to come and do this thing. And obeying them means having confidence in them, trusting them that what they're saying to you and how they're directing you and how they're leading you is in your best interest. That they're not just doing it for their own agenda, they're doing it for you. So three of the ways that here at McDermott Road we've encouraged people, these are some practical things you can do is study. Study. And so when the elders make Bible studies available to you, they're never going to command you. Hey, you have to be Sunday morning Bible study. You have to be a Wednesday night Bible study. They're not going to command you, but they're making it available to you. So say, wouldn't it be good if you had more Bible in your life? Wouldn't it be good if you learned more of the will of God for your life and you submitted more to that? And so they're making study available to you as many times as we possibly can because they love you. And part of what it looks like to be subject to them is to trust them. Have confidence in them that when they make these Bible studies available to you, it's for your best interest. It's because they love you. Another way is service. They make it available to you to serve, to say, hey, we need volunteers. Hey, come serve, come do this, come help with that. Here's a ministry. You can be involved in this or you could be involved in that. Serve, because it's in the best interest of the people you're serving and in your best interest. Our shepherds know that the only way to grow into the image of Jesus, to be more and more like Jesus, is to serve other people. So they're never going to tell you, hey, you need to be at Thrive this Friday. You know, you need to be at this ministry. They're not going to command you. They're not going to domineer it over you, but they're going to invite you. Are you involved in some service? Are you serving? Are you volunteering in some way? Are you doing something for other people that is purely just out of love? Because this is the life you were saved to live. You were saved to serve. Another way that they encourage you and invite you is support. They want you to be involved in life groups, small groups, So that when something is going on in your life, you have brothers and sisters that are around you that can respond immediately to your needs. And again, I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but I tend to be rebellious. And I tend to be proud. And I tend to say, well, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need to serve. I don't need support. I don't need this until I do. And then when I do, I think, why didn't I listen? Why did I wait so long to be in a life group? Why did I wait so long to be in a Bible study? Why did I wait so long to serve other people? Meanwhile, we have shepherds that are saying, hey, serve, study, support, and be supported. And that's what it looks like to obey them. I mean, there may be times where the shepherds come to you because you're doing something you shouldn't do, and they have to tell you directly, hey, you have to stop that. That's a sin, and it's wrong, and you have to stop. And that's part of what it means to obey them. But for the most part, this is what it looks like to obey them. Have confidence in them. Be involved in the things that they're inviting you to be involved in, because it's in our best interest. Let's go back to the text. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And then he says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All of you. Now, that's saying to the shepherds, clothe yourself with humility. Shepherds have to clothe themselves with humility, but also to the members, clothe yourselves with humility. All of us have to do this. This applies to every single person. And humility is one of those things that the people who need it most think they already have it, right? It's really hard to tell somebody to be humble because they say, I am humble, and I like that about myself, right? Humble people think they're already humble. And so we have to listen hard to this. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. We'll get to the idea of humbling ourselves before God, but clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. It reminds me of what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 when he says all of you should have the mind of Christ Jesus, who considered himself, who lowered himself. He was equal with God, and he didn't consider it something to be held on to, but he emptied himself, made himself a servant. And so Paul says, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. That's what it looks like to clothe yourselves with humility. And this is the only way the church functions. The church cannot function vertically with God or horizontally with one another if we maintain pride or arrogance or hubris. So I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. I don't need that. I don't have to do things that way. I don't have to listen. I can do things my way. I think for myself. I'm my own boss. I'm autonomous. The church can't function like that. The only way it functions is for all of us to clothe ourselves with humility and consider others more significant than ourselves. And we say, after you, after you. And we serve one another the way Jesus serves us. So again, practically speaking though, again, it's easy to say, clothe yourself with humility. Okay, Wes, that's great. Clothe yourself with humility. But what does that look like? Practically speaking, what does humility toward one another look like? Number one, respect. Respect the convictions of others, even if you don't share those convictions. We're not all going to have the same convictions. You're going to study the scriptures and you're going to think, this thing is wrong. People shouldn't do this. I'm going to study the scriptures and think, no, I think that's fine. I think people can do that. And we're going to have different convictions. And Paul says in Romans 14, that's going to happen. He's talking specifically about Jews and Gentiles. And he says, accept one another without passing judgment on each other's opinions or convictions. This is what it looks like to live in family, is that we respect each other's convictions. And we determine, I'm not going to be a stumbling block to those people. And I'm not going to judge those people. I'm not going to condemn them, and I'm not going to be a stumbling block to them. I'm going to respect each other's opinions and convictions, because that's what it looks like to clothe ourselves with humility. Who am I to say my way or the highway? Who am I to say you have to believe everything I believe. You have to have the same convictions I have. Who are any of us to say that? But if we all clothe ourselves with humility, then we can respect each other's convictions, even if we don't share them. Number two, give honor to others rather than seeking it for yourself. Give honor to others rather than seeking. It's the natural worldly way to seek honor for ourselves, isn't it? But it's the way of Jesus to respect and honor others. Number three, like Jesus, consider yourself here. Not just here in this building, but here on this earth. Here, not to be served, but to serve. That's what it looks like to live a saved life, a sanctified life, a holy life, is clothe ourselves with humility. Respect other people and their convictions. Give honor to others rather than seeking it for ourselves. Serve other people. Don't say, well, I'm here so you can serve me. I want to see what you have to offer me. What can you do for me? Rather, what can I do for others? How can I lift others up? How can I serve them? Maybe you're a visitor this morning, and as you think about our process of submitting names, you realize that may not be something that applies or is relevant to you. But I want to encourage you, as we go through this process this morning, to think about how you can serve, how you can serve other people, wherever you might be, and how, if you are a follower of Jesus, how you are serving or how you can serve others better, how you can clothe yourselves with humility. But if you are a member here, if you're an adult member here, then this is one way you can serve. You are serving not only McDermott Road as it exists right now, but by participating in this nomination process, you are serving future generations of this congregation. And it's really easy to think, well, I don't have time for that, or I don't know enough people, or, you know, we could say all kinds of things, but this is one way that we can participate in the life of the church and serve the Lord and serve one another. So I really want to encourage every adult member to participate in this process. And again, whether you participate or not, reflect on how you are serving others and submitting to the shepherds and clothing yourselves with humility. So at this time, we're going to put a QR code on the screen and give you about 5 minutes. So if you want to scan the QR code, submit names, or you can use the form in the row in front of you and put those names there. I'll give you just a few minutes to, again, reflect on your life, your humility, your service. And if you weren't prepared to do that this morning and you still want to submit, you have several more weeks that you can do that. Or if you think of additional men that you would like to submit that you didn't do, that you didn't submit this morning, feel free to do that over the next few weeks. We'll have more opportunities to do that. But we did want to give you this opportunity in service this morning. Okay, there's another minute left on the timer, but 5 minutes is longer than I thought it was going to be. They said, well, maybe we'll go early. And I was like, no, 5 minutes. We'll need the whole 5 minutes, but I can't stand it. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the next. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. As Peter's, we've mentioned this several times as we've been studying through the book of 1 Peter, that Peter is writing to a group of people who are suffering, who are being ridiculed and rejected by friends and family, and they're wondering, is this God's will that I suffer? I thought we were God's chosen people. You said we were a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. How can that be true as we suffer? And again, maybe you're going through a type of suffering. It may not be persecution, but maybe you're suffering. And suffering has this tendency, doesn't it, to make us sort of turn inward and focus on ourselves and make it about us. So many things in life have this tendency to make it about us. And I want you to listen to Peter's words. He says this, chapter 5 and verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. See, our submission to the elders, our clothing ourselves with humility toward one another, our lack of arrogance and pride, our willingness to be subject is all an outflowing, a result of our humility towards God. because we've humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God, knowing that at the proper time, He will exalt us. He's going to take care of us. We trust Him with whatever we're going through. We cast all of our anxiety on Him, and we believe He cares for us. Do you believe that? One of the reasons we fight so hard to be autonomous, to rule ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, is because we don't really believe this. We don't really believe that God will take care of us. But if we do, if we really believe that God will take care of us, that He cares for us, that if we humble ourselves before Him at the proper time, He will raise us up, He will resurrect us, everything will belong to us because of Him by His grace and His mercy and His love, then I don't have to fight. I don't have to fight to rule myself or care for myself because I trust that He cares for me. Verse 8, he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Remember your brothers and sisters throughout the world. We are a multi-ethnic, multinational, multilingual family. And I know you're hurting. God knows you're hurting. And Peter knows his audience is hurting. But he says, you're not the only one who's hurting. Your brothers and sisters are suffering too. Remember them and cast your cares on the Lord. Verse 10, he says, and after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, we wouldn't really have any trouble humbling ourselves before the Lord, submitting to the elders, clothing ourselves with humility toward one another, if we had this mindset. It's not about me. It's about Him, right? That's the next slide. It's not about me. It's about Him. To Him, be the dominion forever and ever. The God of all grace who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you. It's not about me. It's about Him. And I naturally want to make it about me. And we live in a culture and a world who tells us all the time, make it about you. You're the main character. Everyone else are just extras. But the gospel reminds us, it's not about me. It's about Him. And when we have that mindset of humility and surrender and yielding, it makes it so much easier not only to live in fellowship with God, but to live in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what we're doing when we're baptized. We are confessing it's not about me. It's all about Him. We are surrendering and yielding to Him. And then coming up out of that water to live the life that we are saved to live. And maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're ready to surrender to Jesus in baptism. Or maybe you need to recommit your life to Him. Or maybe you're struggling and you need to do exactly what James encourages you to do. If you're sick, call the elders. Let them pray over you. The shepherds would love to pray with you in the prayer room, or you can come forward now together as we stand and sing.